Welcome to the Warren County Radio Bible School. If you've not been a student before in this Bible school, then you'll want to be one. That is, if you're interested in what the Bible says, I encourage you now to go get your Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. And we're going to begin looking at, or continue looking at, a Sunday school lesson that was written about King David. This Sunday school lesson was written by a great old preacher named E.A. Elam. And it was written for the Sunday of May 13th, 1923. And we'll be looking at this text in 1 Samuel 16. And this is the account of when David was anointed king. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. And in the meantime, I want to tell you, while you're turning your Bible there to 1 Samuel 16, I want to tell you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And as I look in this old Sunday school book I have, the introduction to this Sunday school lesson was not written by E.A. Elam himself, but he took it from some things that David Lipscomb had written. And he's writing about the downfall of the nation of Israel. Let me read this to you, these words from David Lipscomb. He says that the king brought the kings, that is the kings of Israel and of Judah, they brought Israel to ruin. None of them did more toward this than David and Solomon, who, while they brought the nation to the highest point of earthly power and greatness, they sowed the seeds of pride and discord and destruction. The kingly power lasted in Israel from about B.C. 1100 until about B.C. 400, about 700 years. And they were no better fitted for being blessed of God, or being a blessing to the world at the close of the ministry of the kings, than they were at the beginning, save that they had run the course of the experiment and had proved the folly of their own wisdom, and it exhausted the efforts of human ingenuity in seeking good by the wisdom of the world. This was something gained. During the remaining 400 years, without an earthly head, they were unknown as a power in the world. But without observation or outward show, they were being turned from idolatry and were learning to trust God as their only King and Lord. Under this discipline, they were prepared to receive the forerunner, John the Baptist, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, Elam writes some hints and helps for the teachers of this lesson, and says it is strange that with all this before them, the professed disciples of Christ should turn away from the all-sufficient, blood-bought, and Spirit-filled Church of God to the experiments and ultimate failure of worldly wisdom manifested in various human religious institutions of today. The church stands out before the world as a manifestation of God's wisdom, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:10-11. Now let's turn to the explanatory notes of our lesson text. And our lesson text is 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. And so 1 Samuel 16 and verse 1, we're reading about how Samuel was forbidden to mourn longer for Saul. In 1 Samuel 16:1, we read, Jehovah said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." After Samuel and Saul departed at Gilgal, Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. For Samuel mourned for Saul, and Jehovah repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. 1 Samuel 15:35. Samuel mourned for Saul, because he had anointed Saul, because he had counseled him, because he had been to him as a father, and because he was interested in the welfare of the nation. Saul's downfall greatly grieved Samuel. When Samuel God forbade that Samuel should mourn any longer for Saul. The reason given for this is that God had rejected him. When Nadab and Abihu sinned and were destroyed, God forbade that their father and brother should show any signs of grief. When God rejects a character, all his loyal servants must join in that rejection, a lesson most difficult for many to practice. Let me read to you that sad story of Nadab and Abihu. It is found in Leviticus chapter 10. And I'll begin reading in Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 1. And here we read that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took each of them his censer and put fire therein and laid incense thereon and offered strange fire before Jehovah, which he had not commanded them. And there came forth a fire from before Jehovah and devoured them, and they died before Jehovah. Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This it is that Jehovah spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh to me, and before all the people I will be glorified." And Aaron held his peace. And Moses called Mishael and Eliphaz, the sons of Uzziah, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, "Draw near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp." So they drew near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. And Moses said unto Aaron, and to Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, "Let not the hair of your heads go loose, neither rend your clothes, that ye die not, and that he be not wroth with all the congregation, but let your brethren be whole, the house of Israel, beware the burning which Jehovah hath kindled, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tent of the meeting, lest ye die, for the anointing oil of Jehovah is upon you." And they did according to the word of Moses. Now returning to Elam's notes, we read that when God rejects a character, all his loyal servants must join in that rejection. It is a lesson most difficult for many to practice. Now, God commanded to anoint one of Jesse's sons to be king, and that's what Samuel did. God instructed Samuel to fill his horn with oil and to go to Jesse the Bethlehemite, saying, "For I have provided me a king among his sons." Horns were then used as drinking vessels and were carried by the people making journeys. The oil of verse 1 was probably the anointing oil that is described in the book of Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 25. To anoint a rival king would arouse Saul's jealousy and anger. Hence Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." Then God told him to take an heifer and say that I am come to sacrifice to Jehovah. The sacrifice was made in connection with the anointing, and in order that the people might worship God. And since the time had not come to make public the anointing of the king, of David as king, Samuel practiced no deception in saying that he went to Bethlehem to sacrifice to God. It was not necessary to tell his other purpose for going. And so we read in our text, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 2 and 3. And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me." And Jehovah said, "Take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to Jehovah. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee." And so God told Samuel to call Jesse and his sons to the sacrifice, and he would show Samuel further how to proceed, and would point out to him the one to anoint. And so we come to this part of the Sunday school lesson called Bethlehem and Peace. Let me read 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 4. "Samuel did that which Jehovah spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came to meet him trembling, and said, Comest thou peaceably?" Well, Samuel did that which Jehovah spake, and came to Bethlehem. Samuel went from Ramah, his home, about 4 miles north of Jerusalem. Bethlehem was about 6 miles south of Jerusalem. Bethlehem, as we have already learned in an earlier class, means the house of bread. It was first called Ephrath, near the place where Jacob buried his beloved Rachel, as we read in Genesis 35, 16 through 20, and Genesis 48 and verse 7. It has been said that the book of Ruth is a page from Bethlehem. Here Ruth lived and found Boaz after her famous decision to cling to Naomi. David was the great-grandson of Ruth. David was born and reared at Bethlehem. It is also called, in Luke 2 and verse 4, the city of David. There David learned to sing psalms. And there is a shepherd lad. He fed his father's flock more than 1,000 years before the birth of the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratath, which is little among the thousands of Judea, out of thee shall one come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are of old to everlasting." Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. And we see the fulfillment of that in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. Samuel, at this time, was quite an old man. Jesse, too, was an old man. It's 1 Samuel 17 and verse 12. It says he was stricken in years among men. He was probably one of the elders of the city. The elders were the rulers of the city. The elders went out to meet Samuel, trembling, and said, "Comest thou peaceably?" The elders of the city knew that Samuel was a prophet, and frequently reproved the people and pronounced the curses of God upon places for their sins. Hence they desired to know if Samuel had come with a message of evil or of peace. Here too the shepherds trembled in the presence of the angels who declared the birth of Jesus. But the angels, as Samuel, came in peace. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5. And Samuel said, "Peaceably am I come to sacrifice unto Jehovah. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. Samuel assured these elders that he had come in peace to sacrifice to Jehovah. This was for the good of the people. During this period, sacrifices were offered at different places. Later on, we read of a family sacrifice at Bethlehem by David's family in 1 Samuel 20 and 29. Samuel was to sacrifice an heifer, 1 Samuel 16, 2. The whole burnt offering was consumed in peace offerings, and blood was shed, and the fat was burned, and the flesh was eaten, according to the manner specified by the Lord. Sanctify yourselves. That means to wash themselves in pure water, to change their clothes, and to prepare their heart for the sacrifice and the worship of God. This suggests that we should be prepared for the worship of God ourselves.